Well, you're not very careful. You got a cell phone, how about turn it off, okay?
What did I do?
You're not just playing off here.
Oh!
This live.
No. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity to preach today, and I would like to thank Steve and his church for everything they have done. It's been a wonderful weekend. The workers are fantastic. They've taken care of us, and folks, these things don't fall together. They have to be put together, and they've done a wonderful job. I don't know what he was talking about last year. If you will, turn your Bibles to John chapter 7. I want to talk to you today about the will of God and doctrine. And Steve brought up some doctrine and some things, but I want to look at some verses. And we're not going to read too many verses out of John. I want to start in John chapter 7, and I want to look in verse 13. In John 7:13, howbeit no man speak openly of him for fear of the Jews. And I want you to keep that in mind later on as we go through some things. It's like Nicodemus went to him at night, the nighttime visit to keep people off his back. In verse 14, about in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And of course, a grace preacher probably couldn't hire out at a big organized church, because if you're not a theological seminary graduate, that's one of the qualifications. A man asked me one time at church, he said, where'd you learn your stuff? And I said, the School of Hard Knocks. And he said, where's that at? I said, if you've never been there, you don't know. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I want you to turn to John chapter 5, and let's do what John 5 says. In John 5, of course, they're being accused by the Lord. And when I say when the Lord accuses you, it's correct accusation. He's accusing them, and he's telling them in verse 38, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. Now, verse 39, he didn't say you search the scriptures. He said search the scriptures. And that's what we want to do today. We want to search the scriptures about the will of God. He said search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And of course, if you look at the Jewish people, the Israelite nation, those individuals would have claimed their heritage of Abraham as their right to go to God or be with God. He said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Probably in this room, someone thinks they have eternal life, but you're not sure. And some of the preaching this weekend has probably got to you, but you're afraid to say anything and you hope that nobody sees it in you. I know. I am absolutely authority on this. I was a lost believer. I believed for many years. I worked for Brother Moore for many years as a lost believer. I preached at Brother Steve's church as a lost believer. And it wasn't good. I heard it one time. You just lied, Steve. I was a snot-nosed kid. And I was a kid. I wasn't very old. My goodness, how many of you had 31 of these? I've been to all of them, and I've never eaten one of your donuts. Turn to John 13. I hold the record. You got to hold a record in something. Boy, that's a record, ain't it? In John 13, now remember, he said, you have to believe on him whom you sent. Now, you're familiar with this verse. I'm sure all the grace preachers use it. In John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Now, you've got an order there. He said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send. So, Jesus Christ is going to send somebody. How many, it doesn't matter, but he's going to send somebody. And if he sends somebody, whoever they go to have to receive that person or persons to receive Jesus, to receive God. That's the order he laid down. Now go back to John 7 again, in John 7. And we see again in verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So Jesus was sent. We know that by John chapter 1. The Bible says that he came unto his own received him not. We know that by the book of Acts alone. Has got four or five verses directly saying that they did not want him, they killed him. We have no king but Caesar, crucify him, and so forth. But in the verse it says, but his that sent me. So everything that Jesus says is what the Father sent him to say. Also in John chapter 1, he said, he came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And in Matthew 15, he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you'd be surprised how many people in the world, religious world, don't even know that verse exists. And it does. And he called the woman in Matthew 15 a dog. And many years ago I preached here about the house dog and the yard dog. Well, I was a yard dog let into the house. God cleaned me up, I guess you could say. I had everything on me. Well, that's the same idea. This woman wants something from the Lord, and he won't even speak to her in Matthew 15. And then, finally, he tells her that the crumbs that fall from the master's table, the dogs can have. Folks, I don't mind being called a dog if I get to partake of the master. And you know, I thought about that. I might have told you the story. I had a Jewish friend that married a Gentile. And I knew the lady, and oh boy, she was good looking. I lusted. And he married her, and he worked with me, and he was gone a weekend, and he was back at work at Monday, and I said, how'd it go? And he said, well, my dad annulled it. And I said, he annulled it? And he said, yeah. I said, why? And he said, well, he said I couldn't marry a dog. And I said, is your dad blind? I didn't know anything about dogs in the Bible. Folks, I was baptized when I was a boy. I didn't know anything about a dog. Nobody taught me what a dog was, except it was an animal or something else. And I said, what are you talking about? That woman is beautiful. And he said, no, you don't understand. I said, you're right, I don't understand. He said, a dog. And I said, who's a dog? And he said, you are. And I said, what? And he said, you're not Jewish. And folks, that was the attitude, was it? And did our Lord and Savior that we claim now say that in Matthew 15? Yes, he did. You say, I don't know. Well, go and read the directions. Search the Scriptures. You'll see it. All right? But now look with me in John 13 again. No, I want to go back. I apologize to you. Look with me again in John 7. And I want to lay these things out in verse 17. In verse 17, John 7:17, if any man will do his will, so we've got the will, okay? If any man will do his will, he shall know, okay? And it's based on what? Doctrine? Is that what it says? Okay. Know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now we are to be able to take the Bible and judge whether a preacher's right or not. Amen. Now I've heard hundreds of things in my life that when I read the Bible, it wasn't there. I mean, folks, why don't you search the Bible about walking the aisle? Find it. Or I laid my sins on the altar. You never lay sins on the altar. You lay a sacrifice on the altar. Those kind of things. I turn from my sins. Well, but everywhere I turn, there's another one. I've got a 360-degree sin barrier around me. And everywhere I go, it's hello. And it doesn't work out for me. And there's no peace in that, folks. There's no peace in turning from your sins because they're always present with you. Because if you search the Bible, it's in Romans 7. It's always there. Evil is always present with me. I'm vile in the body form. I am wretched in my self, oh wretched man that I am. The Bible has several I ams in it. You have God the Father is I am that I am. Jesus Christ said before Abraham was, I am. And then you come to me and it says, I am wretched. But then I have a relief verse. I am wretched. Then I go, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And you cannot search a Bible and get the doctrine if the verse, the terminology of Christ is not there. There are many translations, but there's only one inspiration. And that inspiration, the King James says, the faith of Christ went to Calvary for me. The faith of Christ, and there's probably won't have time, but remind me maybe in Galatians 2 in a minute. But now I want you to turn to Matthew 15, 24, where we were talking about. In Matthew 15, now let's search what Jesus says. In Matthew 15, 24, so that you know that this guy who is a liar didn't lie, okay? In Matthew 15, 24, I was telling them in there in the lunchroom that I ran into a guy one time that bought a $20,000 or $30,000 Harley and said he'd bought it to witness for the Lord. And I said, yeah, and you're a liar. I said, you can walk and ride a bicycle. I said, oh, no. But they're not witnessing for the Lord. But I said, you can walk, you can get in a wheelchair and witness for the Lord. I said, you bought that for yourself. I said, why do you lie about it? Do you think in your lie that God didn't hear? I get the opinion that God has a hearing aid or something. Like God can't hear us, folks. Did you know the only time that you're ever going to be comfortable in this life is when you acknowledge this is you. And God took care of it. Until you realize that you're vile and accept that by God's Word and accept the fact that God knew it and took care of it, you'll never have peace. Because you'll always be trying to clean that up like the people around you are trying to clean up this world. How do you clean up an evil world? Well, I know. You go green. Matthew 10. And I'm not trying to be offensive, folks. You can't clean up what God says evil. You can't make this worthy of God unless you have the faith of Christ. Now, in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Last night it was preached, and I'm pretty sure that they knew what to do. You reckon? Do you reckon they left knowing what to do? Is that in red words? I was thinking about something the other day. Nobody in their right mind would kill the Son of God. Think about it. Nobody in their right mind would kill the Son of God. What would you expect? did I do something wrong or did you just die? If you knew that was a son of God, would you kill him? Then something has messed up their mind. Well, it's referred to in Revelation as the wine of fornication and drunkenness by another spirit. And folks, spirits do make you drunk. I know that nobody in here has ever been drunk, but I have. And when you're drunk, you're the greatest dancer, you're the greatest singer, you're the greatest everything that moves. And in that, I mean, you it. No, you're not it. All right. Now look in verse 7. He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why would you kill if your kingdom was there? We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. Crucify him. And they didn't want him. Okay? Turn with me to Acts 26. Now, did he send the apostles forth? And did he tell them where to go and where not to go? Yes, he did. All right, in Acts 26, here's a man that's sent. Now, we're just searching the Scriptures. That's all we're doing. In Acts 26, verse 16, but arise, this is the Lord speaking to Saul in Acts 9, who is a Benjamite, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, is touching the righteous law, blameless. This man has been knocked down blind by the light of the Lord. He is right now, he's in terrible conflict in his spirit because he has faced the one he killed. He is facing the one that he denied, he blasphemed against. Later he persecuted the church because they believed it. And now he's in the very presence of the one that he denied and killed. Do you think that would change your attitude? If Jesus Christ came into this room and you knew it was Jesus Christ, and he said, the only way you're going to go with me back to God is to trust my faith, what would you do? If you haven't, think of what kind of fool you are. Think of that, folks. Why in this world would people turn down what Jesus himself said? And if Jesus sends someone, whoever he sends is going to say what Jesus once said. Right? Well, let's see. Acts 26:16. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Want to have group reading here? What does it say? Unto whom now I send thee. I did not know that as a boy. I didn't know Paul was sent to me. Because I didn't know what a Gentile dog was. When I walked the aisle, I was thinking about Brian. My mama cried. When I got baptized, my mama cried. She just knew that straightened my life out. At 16, I was in jail. DUI. She didn't know that baptism didn't work. She thought it did. And my sister gave me a Bible. They just knew that'd straighten me out. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and shut it until I was 27 years old. You know why? Ain't nobody living up to it. Folks, just because you ain't saved don't mean you can't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see something. Amen. The words are there. And if you say, well, why isn't that happening? Because I could see what was happening around me and people were doing things that were wrong. And why were they doing wrong if they were saved and Christians and everything? And I don't need this. And from 16 to 27, I was hell on wheels. But when it came time, the Lord began to deal with me. And you know, the Lord dealt with me for several years. I didn't get saved immediately when he began to deal with me. I worked for Brother Moore for about 3 years before I got saved. Somebody said, that's impossible. No, it ain't. Not when you're stubborn. Not when you're stubborn. I can look out here and I look at Brother Lockhart. Brother Lockhart's one of the first individuals that I really discussed my salvation with besides Brother Moore on the road to wherever we were going. Louisiana, Baton Rouge. We were in a park, RV park. We'd pulled over to eat. And I said, "Brother Jerry, everybody's mad at me." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, I told them I got saved." And they all said, "Well, you've been saved." I said, "Why are you mad at me? I'm happy I'm saved." And there was people attack me over this thing and would come to the house and say, "Brother Jerry, you know you were saved before." I said, "Well, why are you attacking me on this? Are you lost?" And there were several people. The night I trusted the Lord, I immediately went after my wife. My lovely wife thought I had went nuts. I wanted her saved more than I wanted to eat or live, because she was my mate. And she called her mom and she said, "He's went nuts." She said, "I'm a Baptist, I'm going to stay one." 2 weeks later in Baton Rouge, she trusted the Lord. You know how she trusted the Lord? She believed that Jesus Christ died for her sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. According to the Scriptures that we're searching. Now, what does this man, in verse 18, what is he going to do to the Gentiles and the people? To open their eyes. Oh my, isn't that a wonderful phrase? To open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light. How many of you like the sun out there this morning? I like the S-O-N. When I get in down, I know you other preachers never get down. When I get down, and I mean I get down, sometimes I'll turn the lights off in the room and sit there. Somebody said, "That's depression." No, that's just tired sometimes. And I'll sit there and I'll think, and then I'll go read. Or I'll get on my motorcycle and ride, and the verses go over in my mind. People say, "You know, you shouldn't ride a motorcycle, that's dangerous." Living's dangerous. Folks, you think you're going to get out of here? Now, I've seen the drivers in Chattanooga. Somebody said, "You ride a motorcycle. That's incredible. Why do you do that?" Because I am saved from this word. That's what being saved right now is. He abolished death, folks. I'm saved from death. You know what happens if the rapture comes today? Then I was saved from the wrath too. That's Romans 5:9. We shall be saved from wrath. The wrath is not being poured out right now. You know what? God's grace and mercy is being poured out on you if you want it. Right now, you can be in God's mercy and kindness and never fall into 2 Thessalonians. From the presence of the Lord for eternity, you can be in His presence forever, compliments of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary and died the most miserable death you can imagine, and then suffered soul, the most miserable thing that can ever be accomplished, hell. If hell would open up right now, and you were having a doubt, you wouldn't have when you got done. But you see, maybe you're a little bit with the eyes shut. You're hearing, but you don't hear. Maybe you're just saying, "Well, I've been a good person." I'm pretty sure Brian straightened that up for you last night. I don't think you're very good. But now watch. He said to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness. And this is in order. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. What's the next word? What's the next little word? All right, that. We know that word in our English, don't we? That representing if something happens, then that can happen. Okay? Well, what happens in the verse? All right, verse 18. One, you have to have your eyes open. Two, you have to turn from darkness to light, don't you? Then where were you looking? In darkness, right? From darkness to light. From the power of who? Who had you? Who maybe has you? And then that you might receive what? Oh, I thought it was remission or confession. You got Everybody I talk to say you got to confess sins. Why? Why do I have to confess sins if I'm forgiven sins? Amen. Have you ever read 1 John that Steve was reading, 1 John 1 9, what it really says? There's no cross in there. If we confess our sins, He's faithful. If, what if you forget? What if you don't, if your confession status is on mourning? Always, you do your confession in the morning, right? You're a dedicated confessor in the morning. You go to sleep by night and you don't wake up. What's left? I had a lady get saved over that. She said, "Oh my God, I turn the ones I forget over. Lord, why can't I turn them all over?" Amen! Praise God! Turn them over! Amen. Now, look in Luke 22. In Luke 22, verse 42. The Lord said, and this is one of the most miserable times that He has without being on the cross. "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." You realize what the Lord was looking at? He was looking at Jerry Sanders and what he was going to have to do for him. What he was going to have to do for what I am and what I did. I am a sinner. I have done wrong all my life. I've denied the Lord many times in that I did wrong instead of right. And my Lord looked at me and died for me. And when He died, He did Galatians 1. Turn to Galatians 1. I wished that I'd never sinned against the Lord. I wished I'd have never done the wrongs that I've done. But I can't stop it. And I can't change it. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself." Folks, that's like, here I am. There's a man in the Bible that after the Lord appeared to him did the same thing. He said, "Lord, what will You have me to do?" There are a lot of people that try to do for the Lord what He don't want done. It's already done. It's like slapping God and saying, "You really don't know how it is. You don't know what I can do for you. You can't do anything for God. God don't need your help. God don't need your anything. This is not the temple where God dwelleth." It is a beautiful place, and I believe that Steve is very grateful for it. But this is not the house of God. Amen. "The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands." And the only way He'll ever enter into your temple is when you agree with Him. Amen. You accept what He says. Now watch in Galatians 1:4. "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world." Amen. Amen. Now the end of the verse. "According to what? The will of God and the Father." He did the will of the Father. Amen. All right. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Look in verse 7. "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. but in vain they do worship me, teaching four doctrines. Are you listening? Four doctrines. The commandments of men. That's probably all you ever did in religion. Because you didn't really search the Scriptures. And they are they that testify of me. And this thing says that they're very religious. They're very drawing nigh with their mouth. You know, the Bible in Romans 10 said the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. The word, not the doctrine of commandments of men. The word is nigh thee. Turn with me to Acts 13. Verse 46, in Acts 13, 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it's necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. That would be Israel. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Praise God. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And if you want to check that out, it's Isaiah 49:6, and the words are different. One is of, one is for. Okay? Verse 48. And when the Gentiles, this is what I want, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Was there a glad day in your life? You know, people invite you into a service, Grace Bible Church, in Chattanooga, and it's not to church you. They invite you in here to hear the gospel of Christ. This is not a church that's trying to build and to save the community. This is a church that's trying to preach the truth so that you will turn from darkness, turn from the power of Satan, and receive forgiveness of sins. There's forgiveness of sins available. And folks, who in their right mind would have killed the Lord? Nobody. Who then in their right mind would turn away from absolutely and complete forgiveness of sins? Something has to mess with them. And it's called the mystery of iniquity. And if you want to learn what iniquity is, it's in Isaiah chapter 1, about verse 10 down. It'll tell you what iniquity is. And it's plain as day. And when you read it, you may not like it, but it's still written. That's the problem with people. All right? In verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, what? Did you know God knows you? And how that Romans 8, I believe Steve was preaching on Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good. Well, folks, that starts from the beginning. You start breathing. Things are starting to work. God knows exactly where He wants to get you to. And you're going, and the right time, it'll hit you. Maybe it's today. Brother Mark's going to tear you up. Maybe it's today that you're sitting there right now thinking, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm saved. No, you're not. There's no pretty sure about it. You can't do any more about salvation. Jesus Christ saved you. You can receive it. And then it becomes yours. It's unto all, but it's upon all them that believe. And you will not believe if you don't hear it, and you will hear it. Brother Steve is one of the great preachers that I believe. I've known him all my life. I'm a little bit younger than he is. But I've known him a long time, and I've never seen him change the doctrine. He preaches the gospel of Christ. And folks, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's not what you do. If it's what you do, wow, what a failure. But I want you to think about something as I close. If you just put this in your mind, is there a fear that you have in life that you have dreamed about and you're afraid of? I want you to think about something. Somebody takes you and wraps you like a mummy, and all they leave is your nose and your mouth open. And they leave just enough room on the tape for you to breathe a little. And they put you in a coffin. Does anybody have claustrophobia? Think about yourself trying to get out of that. You cannot move. You're wound tight. When I lived in Arkansas, I was a spelunker when I was young. If you don't know what that is, you can go look it up. It's not bad. And my grandfather would tie a rope around my feet and drop me down into holes with a flashlight, head first. I've been stuck in caves to where they had to pull me out, work me out. That bothers me now. What if you were in that coffin, wrapped tight, and couldn't get out? What would you be feeling? If you're lost, you're there. But somebody opens the coffin and cuts you out, would you remember him? That's the Lord. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and went down into the most miserable thing that could ever be imagined. And for 3 days in torment did it for us. And then he arose. And he said, Jerry is forgiven. Praise God.